Any sharing, any questions for this morning sharing? Okay. So why did God send out Adam and Eve out of Garden of Eden? Why did God send them out? What's that? So they sin, okay. So what happened when they sin? Okay, they got kicked out. Any other reason beside that? Yeah, the reason why they got kicked out because of their sin. But, you know, what? Why didn't God allow them to go back to the Garden of Eden? What's that? Out of love, why is that? Okay. Okay. Remember, in the beginning when God created mankind, God intended for them to live forever. You guys know that, right? How old is the oldest person in the Bible? 969. Who was that? Yeah, Methuselah, right? 969 years old. Can you imagine that, right? Wow, live almost 1,000 years old. That's quite amazing, right? So God's intention was for everyone to live forever. So, but the minute Adam and Eve partake of the forbidden fruit, then physically they will die, right? They will die. And spiritually, they die right away. So because of this, God must send them out to the Garden of Eden. For what reason? What was he afraid of? What was he afraid of? What was he afraid of? Look at verse 23 and verse 24 in chapter 3, okay? Chapter 3, verse 23 and verse 24. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken, verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, at flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So here, God did not want them to eat from the tree of life. What happened if they eat from the tree of life? Yes, they live forever what? They live forever. Yes, they live forever in sin. If they would have gone back and eat from the tree of life, actually, the Garden of Eden is life. And if they go back and eat the tree of life, then they will live forever in sin. In reality, because God loves them so much, God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden, then he protected the tree of life with the cherubim. And then that tree of life, where's the tree of life nowadays? Where is the tree of life? Where is the tree of life? Who is the tree of life nowadays? Huh? Yes? No? God, Jesus, is the tree of life. And where is Jesus? He's in the midst. Right? Just in the book of Revelation, right? He walking forth back in the midst of the church. In the church. So that's why when we talk about our church, the tree of life is our Lord Jesus Christ. But now, can we take from the tree of life and eat of it? Can we? Yes. Why? Why we can take from the tree of life and eat of it? Why? Yes. When we are baptized, once again, we have the likeness and image of God because of this. So when we eat the tree of life, we live forever. You guys understand? But before baptism, actually you can't even find the tree of life to eat of it. Why? Because it's guarded by the cherubim. But the minute we partake in baptism, then the tree of life is right in front of us. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we are baptized, what happened when we are baptized? What happened when we were baptized? Okay, the sin washed away. But what happened to our life when we baptized? Spiritually, we born right away, right? Spiritually, we born right away. So no longer our spirit is dead. And then physically, when are we going to be born again? When are we going to resurrect? And live forever? When? Huh? You guys, didn't you guys, the first two classes you study is the second coming of Jesus, right? When he come back again, that's when you and I will resurrect. So you understand? So there's two purpose for baptism. Of course, to cleanse our sins away. The minute our sins are cleansed away, and then spiritually, we are alive. And physically, on the end days, when Jesus Christ come back again, we'll be resurrected and enter eternal life. So when God said he created us in his own image, his own likeness, what does that mean? What does that mean? Does God look like Asian? Is God Asian? So what does that mean in his likeness, his image? What does that mean? Anybody know? Chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Then look at verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So don't think when God created us in his own image, his own likeness, that physically, like in the flesh, he looked like us. God is what? What is God? God is what? God is spirit. He's not flesh and blood just like you and me. So God is spirit. So when he created us, his own image, his own likeness, this is very important. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Please know this verse. Ephesians 4:24. You know, for me, when I found this verse, I was very excited. Ephesians 4:24. And you put on a new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. So when you and I are baptized, we put on this new man. Actually, it's not a new man, it's the old man that God had first created us. But because of sin, the true righteousness and holiness no longer there. But Jesus Christ, he's God himself. And Jesus Christ, he is the likeness of God. So when we are baptized, we put on Jesus Christ, right? Then when we put on Jesus Christ, this means we put on his what? True righteousness and holiness. So where does it say when we are baptized, put on Jesus Christ? Anybody find it? Where does it say when we are baptized, put on Jesus Christ? Anybody find it? When we are baptized, we put on Jesus Christ. Can anybody find it? When we baptize, we put on Jesus Christ. You see in the book of Galatians. See, can in the book of Galatians, can you find what chapter and what verse? Galatians. 3:27. Yes, 3:27. Please remember this, right? This is so important, right? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So that's why without baptism, we cannot be gained the true righteousness. So that's why baptism has to do with everything pertaining to salvation. Okay? So that's why when God sent Adam and Eve out of the garden, is to wait for them to be redeemed, for them to be baptized, and once again be, you know, to put on Jesus Christ, on true righteousness and holiness, and then
they can go back to the garden and eat the tree of life. And the tree of life is our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That makes sense, you guys? Really, the Bible is so marvelous, right? God loves us so much. He set this whole plan for you and I to be saved. But for us to be saved, we must do according to the Bible. We must have faith to follow the Bible's teaching. Any question, any thought? Can you guys follow me? You guys okay? You guys sleepy? Afternoon is very difficult, right? Eating, ate like a heavy lunch, and it's hot. Maybe Joseph or Joe, can you turn the AC a little bit colder? Okay. Okay. Now let's go back. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. So why did I spend so much time, you know, to understand our God, to understand how wonderful He is? Because without understanding how wonderful He is, how gracious He is, then we don't want to communicate with Him. We don't want to speak to Him. But if we realize God is so wonderful, and He loves us so much, and He's the author and finisher of our faith, of course, we want to communicate with Him. Right now, I mean, if Obama was here, I'm sure every one of you want to talk to him, right? You guys don't want to talk to him? If Obama was here, I'm sure every one of you at least want to see him, right? Why? Because if he's here and you talk to him, then you can tell your friends, why, I talked to Obama. Because no one, I mean, how many people talk to Obama? How many people talk to the president? There's no way. You know, the people during the time of Gandhi, right? Gandhi. Of course, most of them are dead already, right? Have you met anyone who spoke to Gandhi before? And I'm sure if you have met someone who spoke to Gandhi, you would sit down and talk to them. You were like, wow, I can't believe you spoke to Gandhi. Because right? Everybody know Gandhi. Especially, what about Hitler? You know anybody spoke to Hitler before? If you spoke to Hitler before, I'm sure you become millionaires right now. Right? Because they would try to interview you, right? Hey, what Hitler is like, right? What is his real height, right? When he speaks, does he speak with a soft voice? Or are you always yelling, right? You answer this kind of question, you become millionaires, you'll be on TV everywhere, right? But for us, we speak into the true and living God. We must realize that. This is the God that controlled the heaven and the earth. And He gave us the tool, and that tool is the Holy Spirit inside our heart. And let's go to chapter 3 in Genesis. So when Eve ate of the fruit, was Adam with her? Was Adam with her? Let's talk to the brothers first. Brothers, what do you think? Was Adam with Eve when she partook of the fruit? Yes. Yes. Verse 6. Yes. So she also gave some to her husband who was with her. But she was with him in the garden, not with him with him. So how would you answer that then? If I say to you, she was with him, or he was with her in the garden, not with her, right? So how can we explain that in verse 6? Actually, you can explain in verse 7, right? Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open. And they knew they were naked, right? So in other words, it's this. If Eve was in a garden somewhere far from, I mean, if Adam is far somewhere in a garden from Eve, then Eve ate of it, the fruit, then she, all of a sudden she realized she's naked. Then what's she going to say? Oh, I'm not going to give it to my husband, right? Because this fruit is poisonous. But Adam was with her, you understand? She took a bite, have some, and then took a bite. And she teaches a lot about Adam, right? Adam, he should have been watchful, right, for his wife, but he didn't. First, he allowed her to speak to the serpent. He shouldn't do that in the first place, right? One day when you get married, you got to be watchful for your wife, right? You got to protect your wife. Because you spiritually, you're the head. So make sure you pay attention to what she's doing. I mean, if she go toward the tree, he could have said something, right? But he doesn't pay attention to her. Just like typical guys, if we don't pay attention to many things, really. And this is the problem. And there's one thing I learned as being a therapist for many years, pay attention, especially to my wife, right? I remember one time, my wife, she came back home, and I asked her, who do you go to lunch with? And she's like, how do you know I went to lunch? And I said, I know, because this morning, I didn't see you pack any lunch with you, right, to go, to take to work. And then I said, that's why I know you have to have lunch with someone. She's like, oh, I have lunch with this guy, right, with a guy, right? And it's like, don't worry about him. He's fat and he's bald and he's ugly looking, right? And for me, I mean, I'm not jealous or anything like that, right? But I'm just saying that you must be careful, right, when you go out to lunch, because someday if my wife and I have, if we have a fight, you know, a big, fat, ugly guy, maybe they don't have the look, but they have the word to speak, right? They comfort a woman, right? You guys know that, right? So you get, it doesn't matter if your wife is with a fat, ugly guy or not. When they get older, look doesn't matter anymore. It's all about speech, right? I mean, look at Eve. She spoke to a beast, right? He's a beast. He's a cattle. Why? Because he said he was cunning, not because he said, the Bible never said, oh, the serpent was so handsome, right? No, the serpent, he was cunning with his word. Women fall for that all the time, I tell you, right? So that's why you need to be careful, right? So I tell her, oh, next time you go to line, just, you know, go, don't just go one-to-one, right? Then one time I meet this guy she went out to lunch with, like, yeah, he's pretty ugly. It's sad to say, he's pretty ugly looking, right? But it doesn't matter, right? It does not matter. But the most important thing is my wife realized that I pay attention to her, right? I'm not stalking her or anything like that, but I care about her, that's all, right? And I want to know what's going on. So we must pay attention because, look at Adam, his wife went to talk to a beast, and he didn't say anything. And she went to the tree, he didn't say anything. Now, she gave him fruit to eat, and he didn't ask, where does fruit come from? Right? I can pick my own fruit, right? Why you have to give me your fruit to eat, right? But he didn't say one word, and then they both ate, and both their eyes were opened. This is when sin came into the world. So that's why I make sure, brothers and sisters, right? When any kind of decision you make, you really must communicate with one another, to your parents, right? When you get married, to your spouse. When you're at this age, if you cannot talk to your parents, talk to the ministers, talk to the deacons, deaconess. Because the choice that you make can ruin your whole life. Remember Lot, right? Lot. Remember when his herdsman and Abraham's herdsman got into a fight, then Abraham told him, you know, we must separate ourselves. Then Abraham told Lot to choose first. If you choose left, I will go right. If you choose right, I will go left. Did Lot choose, make the right decision? When Lot looked at the plain of the Jordan, he saw what? That the plain of Jordan was really well watered. But it's also just like the land of Egypt. It's like the garden of God. You know where he was looking at? He was looking at Sodom and Gomorrah, right, during that time, right before God destroyed it. Because they were prosperous during that time. But of course, he did not know what's going to be ahead of him. So because he pitched his tent in Sodom and Gomorrah because he chose to live there. Of course, Sodom and Gomorrah is like the world that we live in today. And because of that, he lost all his possessions. And he got kidnapped, right? Him and his family got kidnapped. And then when Abraham went to release him, went to take him back, where did Lot go after that? Where did he go after that? He went back to Sodom and Gomorrah. And then God was going to destroy the whole city. And then, of course, God, the angel told Lot, no one should look back. And his wife looked back, and she turned to a pillar of salt, right? So he lost his wife. He lost all his possession, lost his wife. What about his two daughters? What did his two daughters do? His two daughters committed incest with their father, Lot, right? And the descendant became the greatest enemy of the chosen people of God. Those are the Moabites and Ammonites. people. One decision that they make was wrong. One decision that Lot made was wrong. Just like Eve, one decision she made was wrong, talking to that beast. So that's why, really, remember when God looked for a spouse for Adam, right?
God, because God felt that Adam was very lonely, right? And he looked for a spouse for him. And then look at chapter 2, verse 20. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field, but for Adam, there was not found a helper compatible with him. Verse 21. And the Lord God caused deep sleep to fall on Adam. But for Adam, there was not found a helper compatible with him. So here, at first, God looked for someone that's compatible to Adam. And they say what? Among what? The cattle, among the birds of the air, among every beast of the field. What did this cattle and birds of the air and every beast of the field represent? You know who they represent nowadays? The bird of the air, the beast of the field? Huh? Actually, in the book of Acts, right, when Peter saw the vision, and this creepy thing, the bird of the ear, the cattle, and the every beast in the field, it represents the Gentile. Here, when God looked among of all those animals, there's no one compatible to Adam, because Adam was a human being. Can you imagine if God brought a donkey to Adam? Can Adam say, oh, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh? Of course not. You understand? If what happened if God brought an elephant to Adam? Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You can see animals, right? Their skin is not soft like us. Like their face, not like us, right? So, in other words, when you marry Gentile, right? Gentile, those who have not been born again of water and spirit. So you marry an animal. So that's why no matter what you do, you can never fit into your life. The things that you do. You understand? It's not about, a lot of animals are very nice, right? It's very good. Some animals are very gentle, right? I don't know if you guys know about parrot. You know, the cockatoo, the white parrot, they are very gentle, very kind. But it doesn't mean you have to marry it, right? There's many Gentiles out there. They're very nice and very kind. But they're not human in a sense that they're not born again. This means they still live in sin. That's why we don't marry anyone. Because anyone who's not been born again, they're just like wild beasts. They're just like animals. And then we cannot say they're bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Why? Because a man and a woman who are married, they become one, right? You cannot become one with a donkey. You cannot become one with an elephant. Even though elephant is my favorite animal. But you cannot become one with them. You guys understand? And it's serious, right? It's very serious. But even within Christ, you also have challenges in your marriage, just like Adam and Eve here. So at this point, they have sinned against God. And then let's read verse 7 again, chapter 3, verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. So here, when they were naked, what did they use to cover themselves? Fig leaves, right? Fig leaves. And what happened if you use leaves? What happened if you use leaves? You dry up, right? They dry up, then you got to use leaves again, right? But on the end, what did God cover them with? Yes. Where does it say that? Where does it say that? What's that? Yes, verse 21. Chapter 3, verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. If God clothed them with this animal, skin animal, what did he do with the animal? What's that? He had to kill them. He had to sacrifice the animal, right? Actually, this verse represents who?
remember we read earlier. When we are baptized, we put on Jesus Christ. Just as like here from the beginning, God put the tunic of skin upon Adam and Eve. But even then, it still cannot cover the shame. Why? Because they were naked. Only now, because we put on Jesus Christ, then no longer our shame will be exposed. How wonderful that is, right? And then they sow fig leaves to cover themselves. So what does this mean about sin? 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 When you and I sin against God, what is the first thing we try to do? Or when we sin, we do something wrong, what is the first thing we try to do? Yeah, hide and run away. But here, what did he try to do here? Even before hide and run away, what did he try to do? Cover it up. Right? Cover it up. That is human nature, right? When we do something wrong, we always try to cover it up. I remember when my two nieces in high school, they want to do some kind of science project, I know, drop something off the second floor, right? And the house we live in was old house and have a screen there. And I told them, do not open the window, because if you open a window and you have to go through the screen, and the screen is old, and the screen can break very easily. Of course, they didn't listen to me, right? So one day I came out of the garage, and I look up, and the screen was all broken, right? Then I went to their room, I said, did you guys open a window and do your science project I didn't tell you? I tell you not to? And they look at one another, you know, but they try to hide it, right? Because all this time they put things where the screen is, right? But just one day, I have no idea, I just walk and I just looked up and I saw it, right? But the first thing you do, that was 2 days before I found out. Instead of come to tell me, oh, uncle, we didn't listen to you. So we open a window and then the screen is broken, right? And all this time, you know what? They can't open the window. Why? Because the screen is broken, all mosquito will come in, right? So they rather suffer all mosquitoes come in to bite them than telling me by trying to fix the screen. Because they try to fix the screen themselves, they cannot, right? Just like here, they try to cover themselves. There's no way they can try to cover themselves. So quite often, human nature is this. The minute you and I do something wrong, actually not even human nature, animal nature too. My dog, I had my dog, her name was Sandy. Every time I come home, she's always in the front door saying, hello, 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 hi, hello, hello, right? That's what she used to say, right? I mean, she didn't say hello, hi, but I knew she was saying that, right? But I know when she do something inside the house, I walk in the house, I cannot find her. I like, Sandy, right, Sandy? And I'm looking for Sandy, right? And all of a sudden, she's in a corner hiding, right? She knew she did something wrong, right? But I feel so sad when she got older, she cannot control herself, right? Because she, yeah, And we don't punish her anymore, right? When she's older, she cannot control herself. But she got so used to us punishing her, right? Because if you go home, there's doo-doo in the house, you got to clean it up, right? Especially when she's a young dog, she can't do that, right? But even she got old, she got so scared, right? But she always tried to hide it, right? Sometimes she doo-doo someplace, right, that you cannot find it. Of course, you can smell it, right? Because animal probably thinks, like, oh, they're not going to find out, right? They're not going to find out, right? But I remember one of the brother, he had this dog, and this dog is very smart. And every time the brother would punish that dog for doing something bad, you know what this dog used to do? He'd go and pee under the couch. And this couch in the living room area, and this formal living room, and nobody ever used that room. So they always smell like dog pee all the time, but they have no idea where it comes from. So then when they sold the house, they moved their couch, all the bottom of the couch, all yellow stain. They're like, how can this dog pee underneath the couch, right? Because there's no way he can, you know, of course, he's a male, right? Of course, then he find a trick to do that. And one time, the brother yelled at the dog, and in the next morning, they opened the door, there's doo-doo right in front of his door. The dog doo-doo right in front of his door, right? Crazy dog, right? But that dog, he's smart, so he hid, right? He tried to hide, tried to cover so no one see. But meanwhile, everybody's smelling everywhere, right? Cannot find where it is. But this dog is very abnormal. And I remember one time he was lost. So they don't, they're thinking how, they have electrical fence, right? The dog fence, electrical one. You guys ever know it, right? So what happened, like, how can this dog escape this electrical fence? So one time we're just watching him, see what he does. So he would walk around the premises, right? And then, of course, there's always a weak spot, right, in the electrical fence. So this beep, right, when you go, the beep, 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 like that, then it's, that means it's a strong point. So you find the place where the beep is not so loud. And you know what he does? He jumped through it, and he go jump, he go like that, and then just go through. Yeah, he's crazy. Why am I talking about that? Yeah, he's a really crazy dog. And he did that several times. Yeah. So try to cover it up. You know, if we sin against God, what is the best way? Don't cover it up. There's no way God cannot know, right? God knows everything. God knows everything. So when we sin against God, the first thing we try to do is just admit it to God. God, I'm sorry, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against you. So that's why when they communicate, they cannot communicate with God during this time. Because they have sin inside their heart. So the same thing for us. When you and I have sin inside our heart, there's no way you and I can communicate again, with God. Why? First, we want to cover it up. Right? Want to cover it up. Then what is the next thing they try to do? What is the next thing they try to do? Look at verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam, his wife, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. It's very clear. The second thing they want to do, not that they want to hide their sin, but they want to also what? Hide themselves. Right? Hide themselves. Just like, you know, I'm sure when you are young, if you don't finish your homework, you don't want to go to school, right? Because you know your teacher can ask for your homework, and then you don't have the homework, then you don't want to go to school. Of course, when we act like that, just like a little kid, right? Because when we don't do things that is right. No, sometimes when I have to lead service, right, or services on the weekend, and if I know that I have prepared really well, and I pray, and I pray a lot about stuff, and I'm looking forward to the Sabbath, right? But there's some time I'm like, oh man, not Sabbath again, right? Why? Because I'm not well prepared. Right? I'm not well prepared. I just want to hide from God. Because I know that I'm doing something wrong. So here, for them, when God is walking, when God is calling out to them, but they want to hide themselves. But for us, we're thinking, why would they want to hide themselves? But when we sin against God, this is a natural tendency, is to hide ourselves away from God. Because God is light. He has no part with darkness. Right? God is righteous. He has no, you know, part with anything that is unlawful. So that's why for us, we must think and reflect upon ourselves. Before even we kneel down and pray, we must reflect upon ourselves. Do we enjoy praying to God? Do we enjoy coming to church? If we don't feel like coming to church, if we don't feel that we enjoy praying to God, this means we have sin inside our heart. Because there's no way you won't be joyful if you speak to God. God is, everybody wants to speak to God. But at the same time, nobody can't unless they are holy. So they try to cover themselves up, then they try to hide. And the minute they try to hide, of course, I mean, look at verse 10, right? Verse 10. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. I mean, when God called them, what? God did not know where they are. Why did God call them? Like God said, oh, where are you, right? Why did God continually calling them? Yes. God want to give them another chance. For what? A chance to repent, you understand? Not that God did not know what they did. God knew what they did already. But God wanted to give them opportunity to come forward and say to God, I have sinned against you. We have ate from the fruit of knowledge, good and evil. But instead, no. They try to cover up their shame, try to cover up themselves. In front of God, everything will be exposed. So there's no need to cover anything up. And God knows everything. So if we try to cover it up and we try to hide ourselves, then God will try to give us more opportunity, what? To say sorry. But instead, what was the third thing? That when they heard the voice of God, what did Adam and Eve do? What did they do? What did Adam and Eve do? What's the third thing? What happened when God called to them? Huh? What happened when God called to them? This is very a natural process when you and I sin against God. We try to cover it, we try to hide it, and then we become very afraid. Because God is holy, God is almighty. That's why we become afraid. You know, sometimes, I don't know, you know, I have a nephew who lives with me, right? My wife and I adopted him. Now he's 10 years old now, and he came with us since he was 4 years old. And we call him Seven, like number seven, right? So his name is Seven. So when he does something wrong, right, especially when he's younger, when he does something wrong, of course, the first thing he wants to do, he wants to cover it up. And the second thing he wants to do, actually, he wants to hide, right? Hide the sin or hide himself. Then he becomes very afraid. For me, when I look at Adam and Eve, it's exactly what my nephew does when he did something wrong, right? I remember one time that, because whatever he eat, he must finish it, right? He cannot just leave leftover and things like that. So one time we say he was very hungry and we have this cookie, and it's a very big cookie. And I asked him, are you able to finish this cookie? He said, yeah, uncle. No, I'm very hungry. I want to finish it. And all of a sudden, a couple minutes later, and the cookie was... And he came to me and said, oh, I'm still very hungry. I said, what happened to the cookie you ate? He's like, oh, I ate it all already, right? I'm like, there's no way this little kid would eat this big cookie so quickly, right? So I went to the trash and I found it. He hid it all under all the other garbage, right? He was only 4 years old in that time. Can you imagine, right? He hid the cookie underneath all the other trash. Why can't he just throw it under the trash? No, he tried to cover it, right? So, of course, I don't mind. I go and I found a cookie. And I say, because you lie, and then you had to be you grounded for a whole month, right? So you cannot ride your bicycle and things like that, right? But, of course, and then one time he did something wrong, and I walked toward him. He got so scared, he peed on himself. Yes. Because, you know, I'm 6 feet tall, but when I walked toward him, of course, I look like Goliath compared to him, right? And he gets so scared. Why? Because when you do, if he has not, when I walk toward him normally, why would he be scared? You understand? You know, when he doesn't do anything wrong, when I walk toward him, you know what he does? He ran toward me and jumped on me. That's what he does. Even now, he always jump on me, right? But when he does something wrong and he know that I know he does something, I walk toward him, he's like this. He gets so scared. And I feel so bad because I didn't want him to pee his pants, right? They have to clean it up too, right? That's not a good thing. You know, I feel so sad because my nephew is very sensitive, right? But it's, you know, it's a natural thing that you and I do. We try to cover things up. We try to hide it. Then the next thing we become very afraid. So when we kneel down and pray to God, do we have these kind of feelings inside our heart? That's important. And if we don't have this kind of feeling inside our heart, maybe there's two things. That we really don't know that we sin against God, or we sin against God to the point that we don't care anymore. Those are two things. But really, brothers and sisters, you know, quite often when I'm flying on an airplane, And I always looked down. I was wondering, you know, what people doing in their houses, right? Because nobody can see them, right? What are they doing? I mean, are they Bible studying with their family, right? Or they're watching TV, this and that, right? Because it's very interesting to see what family, you know, what different family, what they do, right? They're in the free time. But can you imagine if you were God, looking down from heaven to see every little thing that we are doing? Especially all the bad things, right? God sees everything. So that's why when we sin against God, don't try to hide it. But when we, what I'm saying that don't try to hide in the sense that you must confess your sin to God and ask Him to forgive us. Because nowadays, it seems like when we sin against God, we don't mind even to tell everybody, right? To expose, why? Because we don't feel it's a sin, that's why we do it in such a way. But we must go back to the Bible and really fear God. Because when we sin against God, when we hear His voice, the first thing we're going to do is we become so afraid. When we become afraid to the point that no longer we want to speak to God. So when we sin against God, there's no way that you and I can just go freely pray to God or communicate with God. There's no way. Why? Because our tendency is to cover our sin. Our tendency is to hide ourselves. Our tendency is to be afraid of God. And this thing should not be. And then what is the fourth thing today? What happened today? What's the fourth thing? What's the fourth thing? David, you said earlier, right? Gave an excuse by, what was the excuse? Okay, they were naked, okay. They blame. Look at verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Who did Adam blame first? Who did Adam blame? Huh? What's that? Yes, he blamed God first, you understand? He said, look, I was fine by myself. I didn't sin against you, but now you gave me this woman. And this woman caused me to sin. Why? Because you gave her to me. You understand? Really, sometimes you and I do exactly the same thing, you know? Because some brother and sister, they just bought a new house, right? It's a blessing from God to have a big house, right? A new big house. But then they cannot come to church. Why? Because God, why you have to give me this big house? I have to do this, do that, right? Buy furniture and stuff, so I don't have time to come to church, right? Sometimes that's what we do. And sometimes what? God, you bless me with such a great job. I make such good money, and that's why I'm so involved making money, that's why I cannot come to church, right? Really, sometimes we do make these kind of excuses that God, remember when God first brought Eve to Adam, and Adam said what? Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, right? So excited. Then now this woman, he called this woman, right? No longer bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This woman you gave to me. So in other words, really, when you and I sin against God, we always try to blame what God have done to us. Sometimes that's what we do. Really, when one day when you have a great education, and you get out of it, you know, and God bless you with a job, but all of a sudden you feel like, wow. And the company offers you an extra $30,000 a year to work on a Saturday. What would you say? How would you respond to it? $30,000 a year, that must be a blessing from God. So it's okay, maybe God wants me to work on a Saturday, right? You think that's right or wrong? Yeah, you guys remember that, right? Remember that. Remember that it's not right. There's no way that God will bless you when you break His commandment. That's why, you know, one of the brothers in Hawaii, right? Andriana knows him. He's a big Samoan dude, right? And he's really good in golf. And before, he wanted to play, of course, professional golf. So, of course, golf, they play what? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All the tournaments like this. So when he started his career, I mean, he was really good. He was really young back then. That he always shoot such low score, right? This means he shoot really good on what day, you think? on Saturday. It's very interesting, right? On Saturday, he always scored the best. Then he thought to himself, is this God's blessing? What do you think? He said, is this God's blessing? Why on Saturday, I miss Sabbath. I come to play golf, and I always do much better. Where do you think that's from? Where do you think that's from? Yeah, it's from Satan, right? Because Satan tells him, if you worship me, if you miss the commandment, then I will bless you, you understand? I will give you things. So the brother, thank God, he knew that is from Satan. Then he didn't want to become pro anymore, right? And really, thank God, the brother had a kind of faith to do that, right? Because, I mean, maybe one day, right, you become a professional basketball player. But basketball games, if you feel, is on a Saturday, for example. Are you willing to sacrifice your career so you don't break God's commandment? Like that's a big choice. But remember, your career one day become nothing. But following God's commandment, that is the most important thing. So that's why your choices in life is very important, right? If any choices we make that is to sin against God, and that is not worth it, make extra $30,000 a year to break God's commandment, it's not worth it. You know why? Because if you don't take that job, God even bless you even more. Do you understand? Remember when Satan said, all this glory I will give to you. And where does he receive all this glory from? All this thing from? Well, who gave it to him? You guys understand my question? Let's go to Matthew 3. See, maybe the one is in Luke. Let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 4, verse 6. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. So all this authority and all this glory was given to Satan, right? By whom? By God. You understand? So we are the children of God. Anything that we want, we go to God directly. When God blesses us with things, there's no side effect. But when Satan wants to offer his glory to Jesus, then what? He must worship Satan. So the same thing for us. Someday you will get a job offer to pay you an extra $30,000 a year to work on a Saturday. You must have the faith to say no. If you say no, God bless you even more. That's how it is. But if you don't have the faith, think about it. If you take that job, make $30,000 extra a year, you think your job going to be secure? Think about it. Really, every opportunity that you and I have is given by God. So why not do the right thing in the eyes of God so God can bless us? And everything in life is like this. So that's why for us, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. He blames on God, right? Because God blessed him with this beautiful woman. And he blamed him for giving him such things. Why? Because of their sin, that's why. Then who's the second person he blamed? He blamed his wife. Like, the woman you gave to me, she made me eat. So really, one day when you guys get married and you always have argument with your spouse, and what do you think the reason why you have argument with your spouse and blaming one another, why you think? What's the reason? What's the reason you think? Oh, nobody's perfect. Even though nobody's perfect, we should not yell and scream at each other, right? I haven't argued with my wife really since I came to Christ. Not because I'm perfect, not because she's perfect. We all, actually my wife and I, we're just the opposite. There's many things we disagree with, but talking and yelling and screaming and fighting one another, two different things, right? So why you think Adam blamed on Eve. Why? Because of sin. So one day when you guys are married and you don't live a life of holiness and righteousness, you're always going to argue. You're always going to fight. But if each one of you are close to God, what is there to fight? Really? Quite often when my wife and I, you know, we discuss about something, we're about to argue about something, we just kneel down and pray. And after prayer, we look at one another, what we say? I'm sorry. And I told my wife, you know, sometimes, you know, because I told her I'm right, right? I told her I'm right. And I say sorry to her. She's like, why are you sorry if you're right? And I, yeah, I'm sorry that I'm right because being right makes you sad. So I'm sorry, right? But there's always reason to say sorry, you understand? But if we are not close to God, and every time we fight, we always want to win, 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 right? Argue and fight and this and that. But actually, it's not necessary. And the reason why we argue and fight, especially with one another too, right? One day you guys become council members in church. You become workers in church. There's no reason for any one of us to yell and scream at one another. There's no reason at all. Why? Because it's God's business. If you and I love God, we always, what? Put others above ourselves. If that is the case, then we have nothing to argue. Of course, it doesn't mean we cannot express our opinion and ideas, right? But not to the point that we are arguing, fighting, and upset one another, and then don't talk to one another. This is only when you and I sin against God, this is what happened. But verse 14 and 15, what happened? They got punished, right? And that's why when we sin against God, it's very difficult to communicate with God, because we don't want to. So that's why you must think and reflect. When you and I don't feel like praying to God, there's a reason. Maybe there's sin inside our heart. When we don't feel like we're praying to God, because there's something inside of us that's not compel us to do it. Even though we cannot see outwardly, but inside our heart, if we do good, those who have good deeds, they want to come into the light. But those who do evil, they don't want the light to be shining upon them. Why? Because then the light will expose their deeds. But those who do good, those who practice righteousness, they want to go to the light. Why? Because they're not worried. Fine, the light can shine upon me, and I'm fine. No problem, right? Because I'm not doing anything wrong. Okay. So any question, any thought, before I conclude this class? So really think, why our communication with God is always some, you know, is always make us feel that it's so burdensome. It's so difficult, make us feel so lazy. I mean, I know some of you can sit down in front of TV for 2 hours without even blinking, right? But praying for 5 minutes, it seems forever. It's something wrong, and it's something wrong. Everything is in moderation. I'm not saying playing video game is bad, especially if you play Pac-Man or something like that. It's not bad games, right? Well, of course, those violent games, we can have 3 classes on media, right? We can speak to more about that kind of stuff. Okay? Thank God. Let's bow and praise hands.